All right, thank you. Matt, thank you, Faith, for your special. Happy Father's Day. And that was good stuff what you just read. We most certainly need on Father's Day to remind ourselves that fathers are important. It's amazing to me. Mother's Day, we always get on, oh, how much we love our mothers. And on Father's Day, we talk about how fathers need to be important parts of the household. And it's true, though, because if you look at our society, fatherhood is one of the least appreciated roles that we have. As a matter of fact, if you talk about the political scheme of things, that there's a lot of structural problems in certain communities. And if you honestly admit it, most of the time it's because they're single mothers that are leading the families, and that's why the families are struggling. Satan knew that for us to be able to properly relate to a heavenly father, sometimes you learn that by properly relating to an earthly father. So if he can take earthly fathers out of the picture, people have more trouble understanding the role of heavenly father. It's been an attack for a long time. So thank you, Matt. It's been very good. I told you, I warned you ahead of time, we're going to be taking a step back from the book of Leviticus for a few weeks and honing in on our church and the roles that we have in our church. Not only are we a family of God, we are a body of Christ, we are a building, we are a called out team. And it kind of reminded me of this, and Dan kind of put the bug in my ear even more, even though the Lord was dealing with my heart. Dan was sharing one day, a couple weeks back in Sunday school, and he said, we need to keep in mind that in God's scheme of things, our relationship with those who are believers in Christ supersedes that of our flesh relationships. God has done something special when he saved us, when God our Father becomes our Father. Remember, I was just dealing with this with a couple on Friday night, reminding ourselves that we are not all God's children. Jesus himself said, you're of your father the devil, to some people. Okay, it takes a special effort on our part to realize that Jesus Christ came to reestablish that relationship with our Father. Once that happens, that family relationship supersedes our own physical family relationship. Okay, and we're going to be looking at that a little bit more. So as God used Dan in my life as he was sharing the word of God, and listen, I appreciate the fact that there are a lot of people in our church who share God's word, and never underestimate, well, pastor, you know, you're the pastor. Man, when you guys talk about God's word, it touches my heart. And I love Dan's teaching as much as anybody else's as well. So you can blame Dan for this series. No, I'm just teasing. This morning, we're going to be looking at the church as the body of Christ. Okay, and this is not exhaustive. We may be circling back to this in the next couple of weeks as well. But I wanted us to remind one another the special position that you and I have. Okay, God has likened his church to a human body. Now, I think we've gotten the picture over and over, especially in the book of Leviticus, that God's Bible is a picture book. Okay, do you know that he has created the human body in the exact form he wanted it so that he can use it as an example? Why do we have 10 toes? Why do we have one nose? Why do we have 2 ears? God didn't just go roll the dice. Hey, you got 10. That's what we're going to have. God knew exactly how he put us together for a reason. And he uses the physical creation of our bodies to picture what he wants for us as a church. Okay, so we're going to go ahead in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read this passage. Matt warned me ahead of time that I could end early because it's Father's Day. But after that long spiel he just gave, I don't know, we're in trouble. We're going to go ahead and look to a few points. And some of these we know. And I'm going to go down a checklist. And I'm just going to ask you how we're doing in this area, each one of us. Then we're going to go to Corinthians. And I want to remind us about something that have in special relationship with each other, okay? And then it'll kind of end up with, are we widening home plate? So, Matt, I didn't know Matt was doing that, but it fits. So, all right, Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 11 with me. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understandings being darkened and alienated from the life that is in God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, and to work all uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, what it teaches us. And Lord, as we go down sort of these bullet points about why you have put this body together the way you have, Father, help it just be a checklist that we can hone our responsibilities. And Father, look at our individual roles that we have together. And Father, we can double check to make sure that we are carrying out the mission that the church has been asked to carry out. So, Father, yes, we are to go out and reach this world, but we have a responsibility one toward another within the body of Christ. So, Father, be with my mind. Help me as I walk us through this together. It's not going to be complicated, but it's just going to be something that we need to sometimes have refreshers. We can't see the forest for the trees. So, Father, help us to understand what we can be better every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the human body that God has given us, and we're going to break this down a little bit more to the actual human body by the time we're done today, but I wanted to take a few moments and just look at this structure that God has put in this body, in his church. And again, he starts off reminding us that he's given us leadership, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, for a purpose, okay? And part of that purpose is to remind us that we need to function as a body. All right, keep that in mind because it's going to boil down a little bit better when we get to the end. But I want to go through a couple of these things very quickly, just as bullet points to remind ourselves as a checklist. Ooh, need to work on that one a little bit. Oh, yeah, that could be a little better too. So first of all, God designed the leadership to accomplish a couple of things. Number one, the perfecting of the saints. Now, we just dealt with this on Wednesday night. Folks, we may deal with this next week as well, what the Bible says about being perfect. Okay, perfect in the Bible, the man invented a terminology called sinless perfection. Okay, you do not find that phrase in the scripture anywhere. It doesn't exist. You don't find that concept in the scripture. Okay, the reason being, and we'll go over this again, and we went over this on Wednesday night, is the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and was perfected. If he was perfected when he came to earth, that means if perfected means sinless perfection, then he wasn't sinless perfect when he came to earth. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But what it means is complete. When it says that the Lord Jesus was made perfect by the things that he suffered, that means he was completed to do the job that he was asked to do. He was sinless, but he had to be made perfect. So you can't equate the two. Because he was sinless. If he wasn't sinless, he's not the Savior. Okay? He was in perfection and sinless. But the Bible says when he came to this planet, he had to be perfected. That didn't mean he had sin that needed to get dealt with. That means there were parts to his ministry that he had to go through to make him able to serve God the way God wanted to. He suffered as a human. He understood what temptation, I'm teaching what I was going to teach, okay? He had to be human. He had to know what it felt like to be hungry, to feel pain, to feel sorrow. When he was in heaven as God, he never understood those things. But he came to this planet so that he could be perfected, ready to die on the cross for us. If he didn't become human and go through the things that we went through, there was no way he could have died for our sins. He had to be made flesh. So again, we'll maybe talk about this next Sunday morning a little bit deeper. Sinless perfection is not what we're speaking about when we talk about perfect. So when it says the man of God here, that for the perfecting of the saints, I don't know about you, but I've been here in our church for 17 and a half years, maybe more. I don't think any of us have made it to perfect yet. I don't think anybody of us are going to be if we talk about perfect as sinless. Okay? But if you talk about perfect as complete, throughly furnished unto all good work, meaning prepared to serve God, then I might say, yeah, you can approach that. So, number one, the leadership in God's body is here to perfect us, to get us ready for the work of the ministry. Okay, what does that mean? Real quick one, laboring in teaching the Bible. Remember, ministry includes two things. What are those two things? Word of God, souls of men. That is ministry. Okay, you cannot minister to a snowblower. Okay, ministry continue is the word of God and souls of men. So if we're completing one another for the labor in sharing God's word, now remember I said this is going to be a checklist this morning. Okay, I'm getting better, Lord. Am I teaching the word of God? So are you? Don't answer me. This is between you and God. But we're supposed to be doing the work of the ministry, which means each and every one of us are supposed to be taking the word of God and sharing it with someone else. Well, Pastor, I don't want to get up and teach a Sunday school class. I didn't say that. I said, are you sharing the word of God with someone? Could be your children, could be your spouse, could be a coworker. Just a checklist, right? Just something we should be looking forward to in our goal, right? Work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I've done carpentry my whole life. Everybody, I think, if I were to say they put an edifice on the building, you know what that means, right? Okay, it's just the studs, it's just the plywood. When you put an edifice on something, means you put all the fancy decorations on it and make it look just right. It's finished. That's what edifying is. It's building up. Okay, there's a framework, but each and every one of us are supposed to be building, completing one another. All right, so bullet points. How you doing on becoming usable for God, perfected? How are we doing in sharing the word of God with others? And are we actively involved in building up God's church? Edifying the believers. Yes? So God wants us all, next verse, till we all come, and he gives us a few bullet points. Okay? So God wants us all to attain. He wants us all to approach this. Number one, unity of the faith. And this we'll come back to again about widening home plate. You know what unity of faith means? Oneness in belief. That we all understand and believe what God's word says. How many of us know people who consider themselves Christian, but their beliefs are all over the place? Okay, that you can say, I'm a Christian, but I believe this. I'm a Christian, but I believe that. And it can be polar opposites. Okay, God wants us to have unity in our understanding of what truth and doctrine is. Okay, number, so how are we doing on that? Knowledge of the Son of God. I love this one. Okay, we need to come in the unity of faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God, that means I need to know my Bible. Okay, if I learn the word of God, I love this play on words. A pastor friend did it to me a while back and kind of stuck with me. He say, you may know the word of God, but do you know the God of the word? The question here, and I love this, and we like digging sometimes into the meanings of the words. Knowledge of the Son of God means recognition, not facts and figures. So let's put that again. Till we all come in the unity of recognizing the Son of God. That means I know who he is, not just what his word says. How many of us know about Tiger Woods or LeBron James or Albert Einstein. Just pick somebody who's a famous person. We can know, we can say we know about them, but do you know them? There's a big difference, isn't there? Well, there's a lot of Christians in this world who know God, but do they really know him? They know Jesus, but do you really have that kind of recognition, that kind of relationship with him that you know? Yeah, how many have seen the little bumper stickers or the wristbands that say WWJD, right? Cute thing, kind of a little bit abused, I think. It's gotten a little out of hand, but it says, what would Jesus do? The problem is most people don't know what Jesus would do, so they can't tell you. Man, you listen to politics for a minute and you'll get on and somebody will say, well, this is what Jesus would do. And that is not anything like what Jesus would do. The question is, do you know who Jesus is? Oh yeah, he's the guy in the Bible, son of God, died on the cross. No, but you recognize the kind of person that he was. Okay, next one. Unity of faith, knowledge of God, unto a perfect man. There we go again. Now, I know you guys are looking up here thinking, he's perfect. Look at, he's a specimen. Okay, we're not talking about sinless. We're talking about complete and ready to serve God. Cover more about that next Sunday school. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Are you prepared to do the things that God has asked you to do? Because you know what's a hard part with my life in the past, and I've said it, and friends of mine have said it, and we've looked back and shook our heads and said, well, you know, Lord, I'll be ready to serve you, but I want to get married first. I want to serve you, but I'd like to finish college first. If you have that opinion, then you're not ready to serve. God wants you to be ready to serve right now. If you are putting all these other boundaries in there, then you're not perfect. You're not completed and ready to serve. Well, you know, Lord, I'll do this if and when, well, you know, I need to get this much money in the bank, or I need to get this set up, or I need to get that set up. You may not have it tomorrow. I may not have it tomorrow. If God asked me to do something, shouldn't I be ready to do it right now? God says, unto a perfect man, complete, ready to serve. Now this one, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I know that none of us can ever measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But you want to know what this means? It means mature. Now, how many of us are mature in Christ? Well, I don't want to go ahead and spend the rest of the sermon reminding us what mature is, but doesn't that basically stand for the fact that you can stand on your own two feet? When a person, because you, don't we know kids who are mature at 15 go out there and get a job and handle something? I mean, some of us had to be. Some of us, mom and dad said, 15, out the door with you. Okay, and then don't we know some 30, 40-year-olds are still living in mommy's basement and they're not standing on their own two feet? Maturity is able to stand on your own two feet. You see the pattern here? He says, I want you to be ready to serve, stand on your own two feet, and when I call you to do something, you're ready to do it. Next point, he says, Christ is the head of the body. Okay, and the point is where this is the body. Christ is the head of the body, the whole body. All of it fitly joined together. Okay, with me so far, we're down here at from verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. A lot of words there. Let's break them down. Number one, the whole body means everybody. Okay, if this is the body of Christ, his church, that means all of us, right? Okay, fitly joined together. I can go all day on this one, being a contractor, being a carpenter, being a, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about here. How about a mechanic? Dan, you know this very well. You know, when you start measuring things with a micrometer so that they fit just right, okay, we're talking about here, but this in a sense means having a close union. As a matter of fact, when I looked it up in Strong's, I found an interesting phrase. It said, closer than most relationships. Now that goes back to what we started with, that God's church is closer than most relationships we would have in our life. Okay, so then it says compacted, meaning knit together. Or I like another word that the Bible uses, says driven together. Okay, as a carpenter, hammer nails into things sometimes. Get the idea? Something is hit until it's joined tight. Okay, like I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on examples here, but God has given us this picture that we have this union, this bond that's more than we think of any other relationships, that we're so tight because of what God does. And then he says, by that which every joint supplieth, that we contribute by attaching ourselves. So let me boil this down and take a step back for a minute. When you are a part of God's family, his body, you are in a tighter relationship than most other ones in your life. You are so driven together because you have the common goal, and that is supplied by the fact that you are attached. Now we're gonna break this down because we're talking about a body. If my arm wasn't attached, what would happen to it? Okay, well, unless you're like the Adams family and you got a hand that just crawls around by itself all over the place, right? It's going to die. The health of that is because it's attached. Okay, and that's part of being God's church together, is that we are supplied for, we are contributing, we are growing because of the attachments. As a matter of fact, I love the way this is worded. It doesn't say that this part of my arm is strong and this part of my arm is strong. It says the strength comes from where the two pieces connect. It says, by that which every joint supplieth. Not every part supplieth, every joint. A joint is the connections between the parts. So when you attach yourself to God's family, that attachment is the strength. I love that, because you know what? I don't have to be strong. Now, there's days I love being strong. I love the way that God could use me, but there's other days I flop. And I fall flat on my face. But you know what? I know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ in my life that can help me when I'm not strong. That connection. You ever have your foot fall asleep? Okay, one foot falls asleep, that means you can never do anything, right? What happens? The rest of the body's got to compensate for that, right? And you might look goofy for a little while, but, you know, and I love... Oh, we were talking to Jeremiah a few minutes ago about people calling out this weekend because it's so nice and it's Father's Day and everybody's bailing out because, oh, I don't want to go to work today. It's a holiday. You know, that people use any excuse in the world to not do something. Well, you know, oh, I've got a hangnail. I can't go to work today because my finger hurts. Well, you know what? If your finger hurts, the rest of your body compensates for it. That's what this is talking about. We're strong because the body is one unit. If it was based upon one little member hurting, yeah, we quit all the time. Because I don't think I get up anymore being 54 years old without some piece of me hurting. Okay, whether it's the back or the shoulder or the neck or something. But the rest of the body compensates. That's what God does through us. And I love this. So we contribute by attaching oneself. Then it says, the effectual working of the measure of every part. Now here's again checklist issue for us. This means strong action by each person. So I got to ask you, close your eyes. Don't even look, make eye contact with me. Are you putting your best effort as an individual into God's church? Are you? Because that's what this says. By the effectual working, effective, powerful, effective work of every single part. Making increase of the body. That's how the church grows. Because again, if one part is asleep, the whole body doesn't function right, does it? Stupid. Foot's asleep. You might be able to limp along, but God says, listen, the church is going to grow when all the parts are effective and doing their job and putting their effort into it. I watch these poor things. They come up all the time on Instagram and stuff where you see athletic fails. You know, some guy's running a sprint and he pulls his hamstring. You know, I saw the other day some girl, man, more power to her, was pole vault, pole vaulting. You know, you stick that pole in the ground and you're like 12 feet up in the air. She got about a third of the way up and the pole broke. Okay, when parts of your body decide they don't want to work, it affects you can't do what you would like to do. And I know that. Okay, this last week I was doing construction with a friend of mine, and I did, I think what it was, Dan and Sam and Josh and I were splitting wood a couple of weeks back, and we were lifting up things that no human being should ever be lifting. Those logs were something heavy. And poor Josh, man, I don't know how he went to work the next day. I did something to my shoulder back then, still not right. Hey, you're picking up logs that are this big that have been sitting out in the rain for weeks, and they just go. There's a pain there, and it affects you. And you can ask him. I'll go to reach up into the cabinet and go, oh! I know that my body is not functioning right because parts of it are not working as well as they should. So here, again, remember I'm telling you about a checklist about the body. Are we all making the effort that we need to be making? Now, please, I'm not judging. There's days I don't make the effort I should. Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
So now let's turn to 1 Corinthians, because I want to break this down even more. 1 Corinthians. We're just going through some bullet points. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have a church family, a church body. And I'm going to read this passage. It's a little bit of a long passage, but stay with me just for a minute because I want us to see, and we'll spell out a few things, and maybe you've never really looked at this passage in depth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. If there were all one member, where would the body? But now there are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to every part which is lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we talked about God has put this body together as a picture of his church, that he's set leadership in this church, that he's got goals, that we should be perfecting each other, that we should be growing one another, that we should be helping each other to get to a point where God can use every one of us. Now he begins to break it down into each one of us as individual members. So I wrote this as the theme for this section of my notes. Members fitly joined. Each one of us are different. Yes, some are a lot more different than others. Okay? But each one of us are gifted and used in different ways. Some of us, by illustration, don't take this personal, but some of us are feet, some of us are hands, some of us are ears, some of us are noses. Okay? God is just using the very framework of this body to give us an illustration. You don't have to look around and say, oh yeah, brother so-and-so, he is definitely a foot. Okay, don't do that. God is just breaking it down for us to show us that there's different parts, right? But here's the thing, and I wanted to bring out to our thought. He says feeble versus honored, or comely versus uncomely. Now, how many of you in your daily life use the phrase uncomeliness? Okay, that's probably not one of those words we use very often, and we may not even understand the fullness behind the meaning, so I want to break it down to help us understand it, okay? Notice the very words of Scripture. He said, there are some that seem feeble. Now, that's a very important word, and later on he said, there are some parts that we think less honorable. Catch both of those phrases, because those are very important. There is not one member of the body that is less important than any other. But notice God says sometimes it seems as if we might think that they are. But God says they are very needful parts. That word feeble means weaker. Now, I love this. We've talked about this before. And guys, this is a good illustration on Father's Day. Okay? We always say, wives, they're the weaker vessel. That means, what are the men? The men are strong, right? No, if you understand language, if something is weaker, that means the thing it's comparison to is they are weak. Okay? We have to be careful. We men are strong. The women are weak. It's not what it says. It says they're weaker, meaning we're all weak. Okay? Notice here, it says some are feeble, meaning weaker. Now, does that mean they're less spiritual? Hold that thought. Be careful, because I want to break this down carefully. As God's body, we need to understand this.